Really, if students just understood how absolutely incredible a career in manufacturing looks like and what it looks like and what you're able to do, wow, you know, that could be a game changer.
Welcome to the DuPage Business Beat, a podcast about today's biggest business issues told from a Chicagoland perspective. Hey, Chicagoland. Welcome to the DuPage Business Beat. I'm Greg Bedloff, President and CEO of Choose DuPage, and today we're here to talk about the workforce, more specifically, the manufacturing workforce. It's a topic that's near and dear to my heart as I came out of the manufacturing world before I got into economic development, so I'm really excited about today's podcast. I'm joined here in the studio by three experts in that space. First, Nancy O'Leary, Vice President of Custom Direct, a local marketing agency that specializes in manufacturing. Danielle Kuglin-Sego from the College of DuPage, our great hosts as always. Danielle manages the apprentice and workforce development side of Project Higher Ed, which we'll talk about in a bit. And finally, Susan Fisher, president of Premier Manufacturing Corporation, a metal fabricator located in Addison, Illinois. Nancy, Danielle, Susan, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So, as I'm sure our listeners know, recruiting talent and recruiting workers is difficult. It's always been difficult, but it seems like today, with a tight labor market and a new generation of workers with new expectations, it may be more challenging than ever, particularly for manufacturing. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what kind of challenges are manufacturers facing when it comes to recruitment. How are we developing the next generation of workers? And how can our listeners, many of whom are Chicagoland manufacturers, get the workers that they so desperately need? So Nancy, let's start with you.
Oh my gosh, there's so many good things to talk about with this topic. So in essence, Custom Direct has been working with manufacturers for decades. And interestingly enough, over the last, I would say, 3 to 4 years, we've really seen a pivot where manufacturers are asking us not only for help in terms of growing their business in terms of their sales and their just overall economic vitality, they're also asking us for an awful lot of help when it comes to workforce development. And we found that, interestingly enough, the efforts and the marketing that you do for one absolutely benefits the other. So in other words, if you are successfully talking about your business culture, if you're successfully talking about the products and services that you offer, we have a very savvy workforce now. This generation that's coming out of high school and college really does do quite a deep dive when it comes to the companies that they're even considering working for. And so as a team, we started asking ourselves, you know, how can we support this industry that we so fully appreciate? And each October, for those that might not know, we celebrate Manufacturing Month here in the United States. So a year ago, we said, okay, this is the year. In 2023, we're going to do something big. We really want to celebrate and recognize Manufacturing Month. And so to be really honest, we just kind of started spitballing one day, just doing some brainstorming and saying, okay, what could we do? What would really move the needle in terms of supporting the industry? And the thing that we just kept coming back to was workforce. How can we help the manufacturing community get more workers? And really, it became kind of a light bulb moment where we said, you know, really, if students just understood how absolutely incredible a career in manufacturing looks like and what it looks like and what you're able to do, wow, you know, that could be a game changer just in our small effort. And if it could, you know, snowball and get bigger and bigger. And so, you know, we just kept talking faster and faster than I am now about, well, what would that look like? And all of a sudden we said, that's it. What would it look like? What does it look like to have a career in manufacturing? And from there, the rest of it just came together super fast. Manufacturingmavericks.com is meant to be a resource for students and their parents to take a look at what it means to have a career in manufacturing. We've got about 23 younger adults that have selected a career in manufacturing. We celebrate them. And so we call Manufacturing Mavericks a celebration of the next generation of manufacturers. And we mean it. So each Maverick has a profile in the sense that they get to talk about why they started their career in manufacturing, what it's meant for them in their lives. And then we get to really do a little bit of a deep dive in the companies that they work for. How did they hear about them? And naturally, Project Higher Ed came up again and again and again. And we realized we were really onto something. And it was fascinating to find out just how many organizations, how many different schools are offering these incredible opportunities for students to learn more about a whole lot of different careers in manufacturing. And so we were absolutely delighted to launch the website. Manufacturing Mavericks has a strong presence on LinkedIn. We lean pretty heavy into that. And we realize that, for the most part, students probably aren't real savvy on getting onto LinkedIn, and we are trying to change that. We go out and visit different schools when they have career nights, and we're not there to sell anything. We're not there to pitch our agency. We're just there to talk about, hey, are you interested in a career in manufacturing? Would you like to know what that looks like? Here's 23 different examples right now and growing in terms of every different type of career you can imagine.
Well, a couple of things. It's so refreshing to hear that type of renewed activity. And it's so refreshing to hear a rejuvenation in the manufacturing space, almost a renaissance. And it's really refreshing to hear someone like you refer to it as a career in manufacturing, as opposed to just a job in manufacturing. Because for so long, let's face it, the mindset was that it's dirty, that it's widgets, that it is a job, and that it is assembly line work. And I know that organizations like yours and Danielle's are constantly educating folks that there is so many cross-pollination opportunities within a manufacturing facility, and it is no more pushing a button or putting a widget on a part as it comes down a line, but you have to have a lot of different skills.
Here's something really, really interesting. As we were reaching out to manufacturers last summer, and here you can imagine we're pitching something that doesn't exist yet. So we had the website up, but there were no Mavericks on it. We just literally had placeholders. So we're explaining the concept and saying, and so would you nominate someone from your company that's within the last 4 or 5 years out of high school, and they're working on the shop floor. And Susan was somebody that absolutely had the enthusiasm and said, oh boy, do I ever. I have just the person. But it was kind of an interesting conversation. And what was so unexpected were folks that said, wait a minute, we have folks that have fascinating stories to tell, and they're not 4 or 5 years out of high school. They're in their 30s or 40s, and the career that they had was so unfulfilling that they pivoted into manufacturing. And we said, okay, we got time for you. We're going to come back around to it. Mm-hmm. But it was so jaw-dropping to find just so many fascinating stories. And honestly, they're like testimonials to the success that you can have in life. And that's no exaggeration with a career in manufacturing. The Mavericks themselves, we ask them two questions. Why did you get started in manufacturing? And what has your career in manufacturing meant for you? And I'm going to be really candid. We expected maybe a sentence or two, and we really just wanted a pull quote for the website. We were not expecting the responses we got, which were so heartfelt and robust. They went on for paragraphs about what their career means to them. And we said, stop. We actually have to make some changes to the website before we go live, because we're not going to pick which sentence is most important. We're putting the entire thing up there. And so, you know, if you visit the site and you start to read through, you're going to find there's a common thread. All of the Mavericks, all of them, and they have very different jobs and they work at very different companies. They talk about the difference that their career has made for them. Yes, at work, but they feel like they've found a second family. They feel like they have a future, and they know without a shadow of a doubt that they have now developed project management skills, time management skills, and they are looking forward to the day when they have their own company. Now, how many young adults do you talk to that have that sort of vision, that have that drive?
Well, you may talk to them, but it's traditionally not been in manufacturing. And when you think about stability and when you think about long-term growth, as opposed to some of the other professions that might not have the shelf life of good old-fashioned manufacturing, it's a wise choice. One other thing, and we transition to Danielle on this, it's an ecosystem. Workforce and the labor is an ecosystem, just like economic development, whether it's at the municipal level or the county level or the state level. It's an ecosystem, and it takes more than just manufacturing Mavericks, and it takes more than just websites. It takes real life training programs, and it takes real life investment into these folks that want to advance a career in manufacturing. So tell us a little bit, Danielle, about Project Higher Ed and what you guys are doing to support these Mavericks and support the companies that ultimately hire the Mavericks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Greg. So Project Higher Ed is really meant to be an opportunity for workforce and for the college to work together in partnership to really help support the career pathway for young adults to get into the field of manufacturing and other fields as well. But really where our bread and butter, we like to say, is that manufacturing field. Manufacturers understand apprenticeship. And really the idea of Project Higher Ed came from local manufacturers, actually right in Addison. So in Susan's backyard that came to the college and said to us that they wanted an apprenticeship and workforce development opportunity for young people to get into the field of manufacturing. So we started Project Higher Ed. We're a fairly new organization within the college, but we've been hard at work and very busy for the last several years getting apprenticeships out to our local workforce. What we see our role is really helping to facilitate that conversation between employers and what their needs are and the students and potential students we have here at the college. So we look at who our incoming students are, who our current students are, and who could potentially be students, and look at connecting them to apprenticeship opportunities at the local workforce with the local employers so that they have that connection to new talent that's interested in getting into the field. So the work that's happening with Manufacturing Mavericks has been really helpful to us to be able to help shed that information with parents, with schools, and with students themselves about the opportunities in manufacturing. It really takes that whole ecosystem to get out there and to tell the story of manufacturing. And so that's really helped us be able to broaden our reach and have a greater impact with the students and the families and the businesses that we work with on a regular basis. So our goal is always to help make that bridge between the classroom learning and apprenticeship to the work-based learning that's happening on the job, and that as an apprentice, a student's coming in both as an employee and a student. And so we have a case manager who's there to help make sure that there's success. And we really focus on, that we call it the stickiness factor. It's making sure people are there long-term, that they're that ghosting isn't happening that we know sometimes happens in the workforce. Apprenticeship is a great retention tool to address that. And so we've seen great success with our apprentices staying with their employers, being successful with their employers, and then growing and advancing. So we even have apprentices who are now serving as mentors and supervisors to new apprentices who are coming into the program.
And even though it's new, as Nancy mentioned, they crashed her website. What kind of response are you getting since you said it's a new program here at COD? Are you seeing the interest factor ramp up, and are you seeing more and more students and others wanting to learn about this opportunity?
Absolutely. We have continued to grow the number of apprentices that we have, the number of employers that we're engaging with, and we really have seen, it's been interesting, we started with manufacturing. That's where we have the highest number of apprenticeships. Industrial maintenance is the area that we have a great need in. We know that. And so we're really helping bridge that gap for workers who are looking for employers who are looking for industrial maintenance mechanics and others in the manufacturing field. But other industries have taken note. And so we've had healthcare tapping us on the shoulder saying, what are you guys doing over there in manufacturing? That looks really interesting. We want to explore apprenticeship for us. And business is looking at it. Education is looking at it. So I think really apprenticeship and this ecosystem and work-based learning is really taking off even beyond manufacturing, but we know this is really where we've started.
And now where the rubber meets the road. Susan in Premier Industries.
Well, thank you very much. I guess you saved the best for last.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, we're not done yet. But, now your organization takes the leap of faith and takes in a manufacturing maverick, takes in somebody that went through Project Higher Ed, puts them on the shop floor, puts them in your operation. Tell us a little bit about Premier. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to do that. We all know that there's labor challenges, but, what led you down this path and what got you here?
Well, I think the main reason was the labor challenges and also trying to attract people into manufacturing, because as you mentioned, people think of it as hard work, which it is, but it can
And that's
be,
okay.
And that's okay. But it doesn't necessarily need to be dirty. It doesn't have to mean that you're a line worker and you just move when the bell rings type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Premier Manufacturing, we're a precision fabricator, which means we make a lot of complex parts that a lot of the bigger houses don't want to deal with. And we're very personalized with both our customers and, of course, our employees are our number one asset of the company. I went to College of DuPage prior to the initiative that we just talked about, working with the faculty there and saying, do you have people that are in your program? And what programs do you offer? And typically at that time, it was just welding and engineering. Mm-hmm. And I said, why don't you just have a general manufacturing program? And the response I got was, nobody wants to just take the course. They didn't find the enthusiasm of manufacturing at the time. And I said, well, I would like to then talk to people that would be in welding. And so the professor over there had recommended two students that were doing very well. And so I designed my own self what I called my intern program.
Fantastic.
And what that meant was with these two guys, of course, they had to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Sure.
And a lot of 19-year-olds typically aren't at work at 6 o'clock in the morning. Some of them may just be have gone to bed a few hours before mm-hmm. that. But the two candidates that came in, one didn't make it for different reasons. But the one that has become a maverick now for Custom Direct as part of the program came in as a welder. But the way we set the program up is they would work in all of the different operations in our manufacturing plant. So they learned how to run the laser. They learned how to program the laser. They learned how to form parts with the press brake. They learned how to bead blast parts, put in hardware. They learned, you know, anything that needed to get done, sanding, grinding, you name it. And then for 2 hours a day, they got to sit at the welding tables and we would have one of our senior welders work with them and make the parts that we were now making for production. And in the very beginning, they had gone to College of DuPage for the welding track, and they were introduced to six different types of welding, and they learned to put things together in a lab, but they didn't understand the differences in the different materials. And so as a progression, they would start to see that, wow, I can start making parts out of 12 gauge. Then I can get something a little bit thinner, and I can go up to 7 gauge, you know, type of thing.
Okay, but that's great. But that's one person in one manufacturing facility. Talk to me a little bit about more global labor challenges that you're facing. What are you all seeing in terms of 30,000 feet from a labor attraction?
Well, there's absolutely a need that is not going anywhere. In fact, it's growing exponentially as we're just seeing the workforce retiring. Yes, there was that initial hiccup right after COVID, but even now, the folks that did come back to work, they are approaching retirement age pretty quickly. One of the really interesting statistics that hit us when we were pulling together Manufacturing Mavericks is the realization that it's close to 70% now. It's like mid 60% of all undergraduates in colleges and universities here in the United States are women. Overwhelmingly now we have more women, you know, it's no longer split 50-50. And the question that I have is, well, what are our young men doing? I'm the mother of four boys, and so it's near and dear to my heart to see, you know, friends of theirs that are maybe struggling to find that career path. And I'm that mom that constantly says, what about manufacturing? What about manufacturing? What are you thinking about manufacturing? And so I think that not only is there this tremendous opportunity, again, to shed the light on what a career in manufacturing looks like and to kind of dispel some of those ideas, but it's also to talk about the hands-on ability that appeals to so many folks. And I will say, I think it tends to lean a little bit more toward men than women. That hands-on approach, we heard it again and again from Mavericks. I'm able to do a job where I can work with my hands and my mind. And I think that that's a very appealing concept that we really need to push forward. What we're finding, which was not intentional, and again, our whole point was to just really supply insight into what a career manufacturing looks like and all these different size companies in these different geographic areas and doing these different types of roles. The unexpected response that we've gotten is from manufacturers themselves that have now reached out to us to say, how do I get a Maverick? And at first we thought, well, you know, you can't poach. That's why we only give their first name and things like that. And they said, no. How do we get hooked up with like COD? How do we get an internship started? And that has really now opened our eyes to the need that manufacturingmavericks.com is not just for the students and their parents. It's also for the businesses to understand where they're located. And so we've got some really interesting technology that we're beta testing right now that we'll be showing. I think it's at the very beginning of June, but really it's going to be a magnificent tool for business owners, for manufacturing owners, or for students to be able to drop in and say, I'm interested in starting an apprenticeship. Where do I turn? It's going to prompt them to ask them where their what their zip code is. And then it's going to give them all of the local community colleges or the organizations that would help them. If they're a student, they'll be able to say, I go to Glenbard North High School and I'm interested in becoming a welder. Where would I go to school? And it's going to immediately populate Project Higher Ed because it's right in our backyard and things like that. And so we're trying to really keep up with the technology. And I know that's kind of a long-winded answer, but the answer is that need is continuing to grow. The tide is definitely turning, but we've got to do everything we possibly can to continue to put the information in front of this next generation in a way they're accustomed to finding it. And again, can't overstate it. They are technically savvy. Their ability.
Well, yeah, they grew up with a smartphone in their hands, whether they're a welder or a nuclear engineer.
Yeah, and we need to be honest about that.
Absolutely.
You know? We can't just be static. We have to be literally giving them all the information they could possibly desire as fast as they want it and as easy as they want it. And I really want to stress, too, parents have a vital role in the careers that students choose. If you think that kids are not listening to their parents when they get to high school, okay, so maybe on some topics. But when it comes to like the big things like career, they're listening. And a parent's opinion of a career in manufacturing is paramount that we address that and they understand how positive it is. Because if a parent, even of a middle school student, does not have a positive impression, that student may come home and start talking about something really cool they learned in school that day. And the parent is going to be like, no, you don't want to do that. You're going to go to college. Or no, you're going to go do this. We really need to ultimately address the parents and get to them as early as possible. And I'm a huge advocate. High school's great, but by then a lot of parents have their minds made up as well as students. Let's start talking even about middle school. And
absolutely.
I could talk for 45 minutes about how the textbooks and the things that we're using, we need to start using examples that are steeped in manufacturing. So when kids are learning basic math elements, let's put it into a manufacturing context. Let's start using those real life examples because all you have to do is look at the success of shows like How It's Made or, for instance, Mike Rowe. And I mean, people are thirsty and hungry for knowledge on the complexity of how things are put together. And it doesn't matter what your career path is. You still find it fascinating. You still want to see how it all put together. So imagine if we can start tapping into those young minds when they're in middle school and just getting into high school even and start saying, hey, guess what? You could make an entire career out of something like this.
And oftentimes that career is accompanied by a pension or a really robust retirement plan and a really positive work environment where you can make a difference. But let's talk about kind of the corporate culture and let's talk about Premier. You have a business. You have to make money or you won't be in business. And training these people takes time and it takes investment. And making sure that, as you pointed out, not everybody is going to succeed. How important is these initiatives in terms of training and in terms of kind of building this global messaging for the future of your industry? Do you see it as a challenge? Are you running out of welders? Are you running out of people who are physically willing to come to work in a manufacturing facility every day? Or are we starting to see that turn the corner as well?
Well, there's a lot of different types of, let's say, buckets of where we would get talent from. You can advertise just on your door in our industrial park, and people walk down the street and come in and ask for an application. You have opportunities to go to Indeed.com and put your job application out there. And I did that. And typically, you get somebody who's worked in a warehouse. and the fact that they worked in a warehouse, they say they have 3 years of manufacturing experience. The difference is they don't look at this as a career, and sometimes they'll come to work for the first day, but then they don't show up again. Or you can go to a temp agency, and they decided they want a temp job, and they work for a week, and then they don't come for a couple days, then they come back for a couple days. And even though they're getting on-the-job training, they some way seem like they just want to work part-time, like when they feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw a sign out one day, and it said, wanted, people who will show up every day for work. And what you don't see and what you don't have with these young entrepreneur, young kids coming out of high school that want that career, they show up every morning. We provide coffee at no charge, which is an added benefit because they've taken advantage
of it. I'll be there tomorrow morning round
8. How about 6?
Okay.
All right. So, you know, they have, in fact, it was when you get the younger kids in there that are committed, you don't have a problem with them showing up. You don't have an issue with them getting involved in any opportunity that you can ask them to participate in. So when we're working with our customers, we'll do a Teams meeting to talk about how we're prototyping or doing a rev change on a part or something like that. So we ask them to sit in on that. So they are starting to understand how we redesign parts for better manufacturability. So better manufacturability means that the part could last longer. It could be a lower cost. It could reduce the amount of time it takes to make the part. And then they're participating in that. And that's the creative side. That's like taking just a blank piece of paper and being able to be an artist.
Sure.
But you're doing it on the manufacturing side. So what you're seeing, though, when we have these guys come in, we try to sit down with them and come up with what their career plan is going to be. What do they want to achieve in the first, you know, let's say 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I want to achieve I'm able to weld certain gauge material. I want to be able to program the laser, but I'm not going to run it anymore. Somebody with lesser skills will just run the laser. And with each milestone that they meet, then you give them extra money. And so in the case of that, if you're going to be in a production welder, you're making some really, really good dollars per hour for a 19-year-old person. They would not have gotten. And I think also when my Maverick wrote his reason, it was not as long as Nancy talked about. He basically said, why pay the money to go to college when I can make money now?
I hear that all the time. And it's continues on and on and on. You led me into the next question, Susan, for you. How is the manufacturing world from your perspective?
One thing that is for sure, people still have the need for somebody to make really good parts for the goods and services that they market. And if you can help them make a better part, save them money, always deliver on time, and that type of thing, they'll be your customer forever. And so I shut out
those advice that
are just telling me that, gee, we're a little slow today or we're slow this month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then maybe you ought to maybe prospect more.
Okay. So I want to take us in a little bit different direction here. Do we think that AI is going to replace 90% of the manufacturing jobs? Do we feel that robotics is keeping up? Because let's face it, we had a podcast a couple months back about there's just not as many people in the labor market, period, because we're not having as many children. We're having smaller families these days. As people retire, the labor replacement rate has slowed down. Automation, obviously, plays a big role in keeping plants running when you don't have the bodies to do it. But now it seems to me AI has the potential to just set everything on its head and turn everything upside down. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I was already kind of jumping in my seat as soon as you said AI and robotics. So the tool that I talked about that we're going to be having on Manufacturing Mavericks come June, it is an AI tool. And it is an AI tool that only uses the information from within our website. So it's a closed encyclopedia, basically. And I do see that as being the future. We've really kind of dug deep into it. You can imagine how many folks said marketing was going to go away because with AI, you know, you could just literally do everything yourself. And we're seeing that it's still, believe it or not, we're still in the infancy of AI. There is so much more to come. AI is going to be an interesting tool. And in time, I strongly believe that we're going to find that in the right scenario, in the right circumstance, it's going to be a huge benefit. Robotics is a game changer. I'll just be really blunt. Robotics is the future of most manufacturing, and it's a good thing, not a bad thing. If you think about the skill set that we require now in manufacturing, and you look ahead even 5 years, but let's say 10 years solidly, as more robotics gets adopted into manufacturing environments, and obviously in really specific use case scenarios, it's absolutely the future. And think about the skill set that that workforce is going to need in order to be able to use those tools. And for all the points that you made, I mean, you know, we have less and less folks just in general in this country that are, you know, that are being born. And yes, we're doing all we can to recruit, but it's just a, such a great natural partial solution to the squeeze that we see. But I don't see it. You know, some folks are really worried that robotics is going to take away jobs. I think if anything, honestly, it's going to give us much better jobs.
And I'll also mention on the idea of automation really improving the opportunities for our workforce, we are already seeing employers coming to us saying, we want to upskill our current workforce on skills around electronics, around automation. We've gotten a whole cadre of cobots in our labs right now.
What's a cobot?
It's this very cool arm that will do whatever you program and tell it to do.
Okay.
And so if you want it to, you know, take something out of a machine and move it somewhere, you program it to do it. And so if we're really talking about young people with technology and skills and being on their phones, and then you say to them, you can use your programming computer technology skills to program this cobot that will then transform into some sort of an automation in the workforce at a manufacturer, now you've piqued their interest. You're speaking their language. They know what that is or how to do it. I mean, we were setting up the equipment in the labs, and I heard from our faculty who were working with students to set it up. The students had that figured out in 10 or 15 minutes where, you know, for other generations, it might have taken us a little longer to figure out how to get
that
up and
running. We would have asked the younger generation to do it for us.
The students in the labs had that up and running in no time at all. So it really comes natural to them in many regards to be able to be on that trend of automation. And employers are looking, manufacturers are looking for that talent or are upskilling their current workers so that they can work on automation and the electronics that are needed and the programming to run the equipment. So it's exciting to see our workforce, especially in DuPage County, taking some people who might be doing the widget jobs or some of those other positions and upskilling them into these higher level roles, more life-sustaining wages. You know, we're really excited about what that will do for our workforce.
Well, I come from a different part of maybe a different generation, because I believe that in manufacturing, technology has enabled manufacturing today. And so AI is just like the new word, but that's technology, and manufacturing and technology have been, you know, working together for quite some time. The other point, when you get into robotics are okay, but they're also very expensive. They depreciate very quickly, and somebody still has to babysit them. So where robotics makes sense right now is when you have a recurring part, and it's pretty heavy. So for those companies that are doing the same part repetitive over and over and over with heavy parts, you're going to see that payoff happen.
So I think we all feel very positive about the future of manufacturing, and I think we all have a good outlook in terms of where we're going in terms of young people and labor. What are, if you had to pick the most single most important thing that we need to focus on from a manufacturing or a labor or a training perspective within your world right now, what would you like to see us moving together towards?
There are 15,000 manufacturers in the state of Illinois, and 3/4 of them are small to medium size. Small is 9 employees or less. Medium is 200 employees or less. So when you realize the volume of manufacturers that we have just within the state of Illinois that are relatively on the small side, those are the manufacturers that, to be honest with you, tend to shy a little bit away from things like their digital presence. And I know that's a marketing term, but it's vital for manufacturers of all sizes to understand just how important their website is as a tool, not only, again, to grow their business, but to grow their workforce. Susan is just the perfect example of somebody that completely understands such a thorough degree of detail of how vitally important her digital presence is, that, you know, website and say LinkedIn. And so what's my thing? Manufacturers, please understand that if you built your website 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, in order to be found, it needs to be accurate, it needs to be current, it needs to be kept up to date for you to find not only business, but to find your workforce. And I'd say that's my key takeaway.
Great. Danielle, from an education perspective, maybe?
Yeah, I think keep building out the ecosystem. You know, we've talked about WorkNet DuPage plays a role in here, and our high school partners and partnerships with our high schools and our elementary schools and middle schools. You know, the work, the relationship we have with our local employers. I think we all are a part of this strong ecosystem. And so the more we can invest and support each other, there's a lot going on in this space. And so I think trying to find ways that we can streamline some of that work and utilize great partners like the testimonials of Manufacturing Mavericks to tell the story, and having those employers like Susan, who's been so invested in providing quality experience to young people. You know, those are key pieces of building out that ecosystem. So continuing to invest in and support the manufacturing ecosystem here in DuPage County.
We'd probably be remiss, especially you and I, if we didn't mention TCD as well, right? Because they play an important role in educating young people in terms of the manufacturing community. They're part of that ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely.
The best thing that would help companies of my size that Nancy alluded to would be some additional grant money on the job to be able to subsidize some of these programs that the smaller companies really need and help people take advantage of, like other counties have done. So that would be the number one thing. I would allude to also what Nancy talked about was getting the word out to parents more to actually talk to your kids instead of just going to tour a college. Why don't they go tour a manufacturing facility?
What a great close. Wow. Thank you so much for saying that. Well, that's it for today's show. Nancy, Danielle, and Susan, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Susan, in particular, thank you for choosing DuPage for your business. We're proud and we're honored that you've selected Addison and DuPage County for the home of Premier. So thank you for that. And as always, thank you to the College of DuPage for supporting today's episode. To keep up with what's happening in DuPage County and the Chicagoland region, follow Choose DuPage on social media or visit choosedupage.com. I'm Greg Bedlove. That's it for today's show. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the DuPage Business Beat.